Good morning, good morning. How are you today? This is Glenn Coble, and the name of the show is On the Air, and we are on the air on the very first day of the Popcorn Festival. Don't go downtown. I have a guest that's coming in from Upper, I believe, and as he shows up right now, and I was terribly concerned he would be totally lost in downtown Marion, but he made it. How about that? Anyway, we will be talking to my guest, and I'll tell you who he is as soon as our theme music ends, and we'll get going. Okay, I forgot to hit the right correct button, so now I'm going to have to do that, and... that's what happens when you get kind of lost. Okay, got to make sure I have all the buttons correct. Yeah, there we go. We got it. And Craig Swartz is we know each other from, I don't know, about 2 years ago. He was running for state senator, and I got to meet him when I was supporting a person who was running for state or for Congress to run against Jim Jordan. My candidate, my horse, did not win that particular race, but we did get to meet, and I got to listen to Craig talking to a very nice crowd of young ladies. Well, not all of them young, but most of them young at heart, down at... Richwood, and I'm trying to remember the name of the group. But anyway, Craig, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Glenn.
Yeah, you're on.
Yeah, I'm glad I made it. Yeah, I went down to the old location. I went, oh my gosh, he's right. He gave me the GPS. Prospect.
Not only that, but I gave you the address because I was afraid you're going to go to the old location.
No, you did fine.
We've actually been in three locations since
we last spoke.
Well, no, you went to the one that was there on Center Street or whatever it is.
Yeah, Ohio Health, in the building.
Oh, okay. So we've only been in this one and that one.
All right.
I thought you had gone to the other one. Well,
let me make a quick plug. I brought you some donuts from my brother's shop, Andrew's Pastries.
Oh, I love Andrew's Pastries. So I used to get those all the time for my staff.
I'm doing a quick plug for him.
All right.
And, I got my Morgan.
Is he your brother?
Andrew's the youngest. There were five boys in a family. My sister's the oldest.
You were the better looking of the bunch, right?
I would say so. Yeah. I get a lot of compliments like that. Yeah.
Did you pay for the donuts? That's the question.
No, I never have to pay. Unless it's for some kind of special occasion and everything. Andrew helps us out on a lot of our activities.
Yeah.
You know, over the
good
last
guy.
Yeah,
I like
several
him.
Years. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he is Mr. Marion. There is no doubt about it. He supports this community wholeheartedly.
I was so proud when he was on national television talking about running the donut child. I think it was Good Morning America or something like that. They interviewed him. I was so proud. I know him.
Yeah. He's definitely a local celebrity. Well, it's in our family. I mean, that's the way we were brought up. We're all originally from Cleveland.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, from way back. Yeah, we grew up in Cleveland.
You live in Upper now, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
I live in Upper Sandusky. And the reason being is because I was drawn to purchasing a business there.
Okay.
You know, 20 years ago.
Now, what is your business?
I'm a realtor.
Now, is that the business that drew you there?
No. I bought a restaurant.
Okay.
In Upper back in 2000.
So the whole family is in food then?
Yeah, at one time or another, we're all in the food business. My father was an executive with Arby's during the 70s. Uh-huh. And I was a crew chief down at the campus store to pay for college.
Yeah.
Right on Lane and High. It's no longer there anymore. I think a drugstore's there. And we were the second biggest Arby's in the country at that time.
In the country?
Yeah.
Wow.
On football Saturdays, we had them lined out down Lane. Mm-hmm. You couldn't imagine it.
They have the best coupon ever that you get about once a month or something like that, where they give you dinner for two. It includes the cheese sticks. And I absolutely love the cheese sticks. And when that coupon comes out, we're there.
Yep.
Good. I loved Arby's. The first Arby I ever had was out in California. And also, right next to it was an Orange Julius place. And there is nothing better than an Arby's sandwich with an Orange Julius.
I've never tried that combo.
Well, it just reminds me of days
that's
gone
a
by.
Good, I guess that's a good period.
It was. Yeah. All right. Well, we talked briefly, so I really haven't kept up with you. You kind of...
Played
off when I said, "Are you running again?" And you kind of laughed me off. So I guess you're not running again, right?
No, not at this time.
Okay.
Though I am very much involved.
Oh, I can see that from your webpage.
Yes, I am the Wyandotte County Democratic Chairman, mm-hmm. and was elected to that position in January.
Elected to deposition?
No, to that position.
Oh.
Yeah, in January.
Okay.
And... we had lost, actually, our previous chair, Bill Evans, to COVID.
Okay.
Unfortunately, late last year.
I'm thinking it has to happen in November, but that doesn't have to.
No.
No, not at all.
No,
yeah.
No.
And you lost him to COVID?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And it was quite a shame. Bill had been chair for 10 years.
Huh.
And what we did recently to honor him is that our local Democratic Club worked with ODOT on doing an Adopt-a-Highway just north of Upper on State Route 199.
Okay.
And we agreed to clean up that section of highway 2 miles north of the interchange of 23 for the next couple of years. 4 times a year, you go out and do the voluntary cleanup.
So you're probably looking for some volunteers to help you, right?
We've got it all arranged. We're going to do it on the 2nd of October. But on the sign, we have the Wyandotte Democrats in honor of Bill Evans,
mm-hmm.
To honor his legacy.
Very good. What a horrible... thing to happen to this world.
That's right.
COVID.
That's right.
And it didn't need to get this big, I don't think. But
no, I mean, this is the shame of it, actually, that we are at such a point in our country's history when we, well, let me just digress for a second.
Sure.
After 9/11, what was the national sentiment? There was a unification after that tragedy. People coming together, working together, volunteering, self-sacrificing.
Across the aisle?
Across the aisle. No colors, man. We're just Americans. We're going to dig in, and we're going to do what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see now with respect to what is happening with this pandemic and the partisan lines and the politics that are being involved, this is a public health emergency. And you have politicians out there saying how vaccines are un-American. I just want to remind the listeners here that those politicians do not know their American history.
Absolutely.
I could go back to George Washington, probably being the most famous case, when the country, at that time, the colonies were ravaged by smallpox.
Mm-hmm.
And his army was being decimated. And at that time, a rudimentary form of inoculation existed, which was to basically infect the troops with a small dose of smallpox, you know, a mild case of it, and let their immune system build up. And so George Washington mandated that all of the soldiers had to undergo that process.
Wow.
In order to save his army.
And that was a bad inoculation. That would make you get sick.
Correct. Well, and the thing is, that's what the J&J shot is. The J&J shot, so it's just so people know, the difference between the Pfizer and Moderna and the J&J is that the Pfizer and the Moderna use a new technology which was in development for over a decade. This isn't something that was rushed.
Somebody said 18 years, actually.
Oh, probably
the very
longer.
Minning.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the J&J uses the old tech, which is to shoot you with the dead virus.
Mm-hmm.
You're no live virus is going into anybody.
Right.
That's a very big misconception. So it's a dead virus going into your body. That's the J&J shot. And you go through the usual. I mean, it's going to be I did that. It was a slight temperature. I was weak for a day. And then 24 hours later, I was fine.
So did you get the J&J?
I got the J&J.
Okay, I got the Pfizer, and I had no side effects.
Not
none.
My wife got the Pfizer, and she was down for a few days. You know, it affected her.
My wife got a sore shoulder, but...
Yeah, that's it.
You were in the service, weren't you?
No.
Oh, okay, I thought you were. But in the Army, I got 15 shots in about 15 minutes. They just lined us up, and we went down the line, and they just kept giving you a shot, shooting you in the arm, shooting you in the arm. And if you don't get sick.
Remember this one?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't get sick from that, you're never going to get sick. Yeah, I've got one of those scars, too.
Yeah, and you didn't ask what was going in there,
no.
Right?
I was
just lined up, and you got the shot.
One of the proudest things I've done, of course, I didn't have anything to say about it because I was 5 or 6 years old. I was a member of the polio pioneers. We were the very first kids.
Wow.
I mean, the very first kids to take the Salk vaccine. And I'm really proud. And we found out a year later that I got the real shot instead of the, what is the one called? The one that...
Placebo?
Yeah, the placebo.
Yeah.
I got the real one.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have to go back and get another shot, but I haven't had polio.
There you go. Look, I don't even get a flu shot. My wife and I, my son, we've never gotten a flu shot. And it's just that it's the way we eat, our metabolism, mm-hmm. our body makeup, and everything else.
And by the way, to the audience, this guy is as skinny as a rail. I hate him.
Well, but so I can understand part of the skepticism out there. I really do. And, of course, people are just besieged with so much information right
yeah.
now. And I understand a lot of the confusion. I really do. I sympathize with people. But if we want to do everything we can to get our economy back, to get our public life back, so we could really congregate again freely, that's the freedom that we're seeking. And it requires a little self-sacrifice, a little responsibility. You know, the one side likes to go on about personal responsibility. Well, this is it.
Yeah.
This is the ultimate. You are doing something that you're for your fellow American, for your community. And that's what we're here for. For a very short period of time on this planet,
yeah.
we're here to not be out for ourselves and be shouting, freedom, freedom, freedom. It's my body, my choice. Well, it is your body. It is your choice. That is the ultimate freedom.
They don't say that about...
But you're not seeing the other side, which is the responsibility.
Yeah.
With freedom, with rights, come responsibility.
Yeah.
And this, I think, really is the crux of the matter, is that they're not seeing both sides of the equation. It's a give and take. We all don't live on an island. Mm-hmm. We all live in communities. If you do live on an island, hey, more power to you.
Yeah,
you stay there.
What you want.
But if you choose to live in a community, in a society, then you have to abide by those community laws. Mm-hmm. And for the other side to go on about, oh, we're all about law and order, and then you basically disrespect that law and order, when these officials are trying to do the right thing for the children, for the community, and I see these pictures every day, and it sickens me. I can't believe these people are screaming at officials, public health officials, school officials, because it's all about them.
Yeah, and all the public health officials are trying to do is help them.
Correct. I know, I know.
And now we hear them screaming, it's my body, so I can do with it as I want, but they don't say the same thing for the women in the world.
And that is the clear hypocrisy.
Yeah.
And as much as I understand about people's religious convictions,
yeah.
and we have to have that. We have to have that observance of other people's customs and their religious beliefs and everything else. But the Constitution was designed in such a way that one minority could not impose their beliefs on the majority. And that is what is going on in this country.
Right. And now they, I think they slipped a little bit on doing the Electoral College. I think that kind of let us slide into this predicament that we're in now.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's been rising. The chorus on the other side is rising, rising, rising. But I have to say, I've argued when I was running for state senate, and I have argued the same point in front of these people by saying that I understand. I'm all about the Constitution. And want to uphold that as strongly as I can, but you have to respect all sides. And the reason why it was designed such a way that the minority could not suppress the majority, and that's what we have going on right now. So it's totally unconstitutional what is happening. They were able to, because of the gerrymandering that had occurred in all these states after the 2010 election, they skewed all these results. Ohio is a mixed bag. We are a... really closer to a 50-50. We're not a red state. We're not a blue state. We are the bellwether of the country.
But we're gerrymandered.
But we're gerrymandered to affect it. People say, "Oh no, you're red now. You're no. There's no coming back." Mm. Well, I don't believe that. I refuse to believe that.
I was listening to a show about one of the Ohio talk radio things on the air, and they gave the numbers of how many more Democrats there were that voted than Republicans, and yet the Republicans just, well, I was beaten by 3-1. Yeah, I mean, I only got 30% is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that's what I received.
Yeah.
I was beat pretty handily by Bill Reinicke, my opponent. Mm-hmm. And I knew that going in. I mean, I didn't have any illusions about winning.
I was the same way. Yeah.
But it was, you hated to see the seat go uncontested.
Yeah.
And that's what's been going on, and that's what gerrymandering has wrought upon our region here in Northwest and North Central Ohio. Many seats, local seats, go uncontested because the other side, the Democrats, say, well, why bother?
I don't think the District 6, which I was running in, is nearly as gerrymandered as, let's say, the district that Jordan is running, that looks like a duck, you know, because they've cut out all...
Oh, you mean four?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where they've cut out all the little Democratic high spots.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but we were still involved in... I could tell that there were people that I wasn't able to go talk to because of my walking papers that told me where I could go and shake hands. I could say, well, wait a minute, why can't I go over there? Well, because you're outside your district. Well, why? Well, nobody knew, but it happened to be a very Republican area.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway.
And the redistricting is going on right now, and they just made an announcement yesterday, the commission, that they're going to hold hearings in the next few days. So they just, in fact, they still haven't announced the times or the locations.
They're trying to conceal it a little?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I have no doubt in my mind. In fact, they are already out of, let's say, contract with the agreed-upon constitutional change that the voters passed in 15 and 18.
Right.
They were supposed to have these maps in place and the hearing scheduled by September 1st.
Oh.
So here we are, basically late. 10 days later, almost 9-10 days later, and they're just getting around to it now. So it is a blatant disregard of the people's decision. We're telling these 70% of Wyandotte voters voted for fixing gerrymandering. And my representative up there has yet to hold a public meeting of any kind. He never holds public meetings. Reinicke's another one. We spoke to his representative yesterday. He admitted that it wasn't even discussed by his representative. No intention whatsoever. He's focusing on his own personal bills that he's getting through, and they're not even talking about this. And they were charged by the public to have this done by September 1st. And that this party, this one-party rule in Ohio, such blatant disregard for our freedoms. You want to talk about your freedoms and personal responsibility? These guys got to get on the ball. I encourage all your listeners to start contacting your local representatives and demand public town halls. Even in the midst of a pandemic, we can do it. And these guys are shirking their responsibilities.
Now, Jim Jordan did have a public meeting down here about, I don't know, 4 years ago, something like that. That was the last time we heard from him. But he never does anything in the Congress. He hasn't passed a bill.
Yeah.
And why is it that the Republican legislators and the Republican in general, they don't seem to be a do-anything group, whereas the Democrats step off the end of the pier and do a lot of things and get a lot of trouble for it.
That's right.
And I assume that's why the Republicans don't step off the end of the
pier. That's right. And Jordan, they play it safe. So what they're going to do is they're going to Jordan, zero legislation, folks. Zero legislation in 10 years from this guy.
Yeah. A lot of talk.
A lot of talk. A lot of screaming and jumping up and down, going,
Can't find his jacket.
Can't find his jacket. Making it look like he's working his ass off. He's not doing jack, folks. You got to start calling these people. And I tell you, I don't care if you're a Republican or Democrat. I call them all out. And I'm a Democrat. The Democrats have made plenty of mistakes. and continue to do so.
Yeah.
So that's why it's important for the people to retake their government.
And you know, it's not hard. When I started running for office, I guess probably 10 years ago, something like that, I had never called a legislator in my life. I just didn't think that was cool. I didn't think they would listen. And I was partly right, but also partly wrong. I then started calling my legislators, my congressmen, my senators, my local people. And the local ones seemed to be interested. They wanted to hear what you had to say. I'm not so certain about the national ones because they get so many calls. Now, I have gotten responses from Sherrod Brown, and I did get one response from Portland, but I've never gotten anything back other than thank you for your yeah. message.
Yeah, that's it. But, that's generally it. Bob Latta, who is my congressman up right where I live, I think it's no town halls in over 5,000 days.
Wow. Well, I got a chance. I was lobbying for credit unions when I was working there, and I did get a chance to talk to some of the staff members when we were out there, and it was kind of interesting. What they told me is they do get all those calls. Now, what they do is they have a little checklist for and against, and that's what they do. They don't tell them that you called them a dirty name. They don't call them. They don't tell them anything about it, but is he for this law or is he against this law? He's against it, so they give a check there.
Yeah.
So it's worth your effort, because if they get 5,000 against and 24, that's going to make them think a little.
You would hope so.
you would hope so.
But look again at the national polls, well, the state polls that show that the people overwhelmingly support women's choice in this state.
Yeah.
It's still the case. It's over 60%.
Yeah.
And yet you have a minority that are pushing bills that are unconstitutional in many respects, and it's taking away more and more of our freedoms.
I think there will be some rectification of that. I think in the long run, it's going to take a long time, they're going to find ways to correct that sort of thing. One of the things, and I can't remember his name, a very famous emeritus professor at Harvard, he wrote an opinion and took it to the Supreme Court about a case where they had made a law that allowed the general public to be vigilantes, much like this one about the abortion thing.
Yeah, in Texas.
And the Supreme Court said that that was unconstitutional. And he truly believes that that's going to come back to bite him in the nose when they do that. But, boy, there are so many. There has been a disregard for the last previous four years,
yep.
A disregard for anything that was not set down in granite, but set down as a guideline for a good government.
Yes, yes.
If it didn't appeal to the government that was in choice in power, it didn't count.
You know, Glenn, you and I think a couple of years ago we discussed this when I was on your last program last time, and this isn't something
you can remember that far back.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I got a pretty good memory because of that. We had discussed that this wasn't something that it would just happen recently. This was set in motion decades ago when both parties started disregarding, I think, the public at large. You started the outsourcing of the trade, manufacturing, the trade agreements that both parties were endorsing. Now, Sherrod Brown, to his credit, was one of the few that stood up when he was a congressman and fought against NAFTA. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize that.
Strong
and I want to make that
guy.
Point that he was in our corner for a long time. But when the United States, when we as a country just started to go in a certain direction, and you heard these things, oh, we're supposed to be a service economy, right? We're graduating to information technology. And they moved away from the manufacturing, You allowed the bashing of the unions to proceed, yep. which started destroying our middle class. That's what built the middle class.
I think we've dropped 5% of union membership in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
And so both parties are complicit in this. I tell this people a lot. I say, I don't mind. I can beat up on the Democrats just as well as I can with the Republicans because I do see both sides. And when we started taking apart our economy and moving in a direction when wages were basically frozen, you lifted all these safeguards that helped protect the middle class. You started enriching the upper class because of all those benefits. You took away those tax rates that kind of helped pay for a lot of these programs, helped pay for the defense. A lot of people don't understand it. The income tax up until the 70s was paying for the defense program.
Well, when I was a kid, the income tax, the top bracket was in the 90s, 90%.
Yes. 70%
it's
by Reagan.
It's now 30 or something
yes.
like that.
So Reagan Kennedy started it, and then it kept going. But Reagan accelerated it, bashed the unions. Mm-hmm. You started getting this disinformation from the other side, separating us more and more, dividing us based upon our personal beliefs, which it should have had no bearing on this, but yet there was nothing for these guys to talk about or propose, and yet they use these personal issues, these privacy issues, to start dividing us and saying, hey, that guy's fault that you're in the situation you're in. And because of the mass media and everything else, it is just snowballed. And to this point, you know, where we are now, just at each other's throats over things that should be personal and private rather than working together. And so both parties are complicit in this over 40-year period. That's why I tell Democratic candidates, you better start getting your butts back here in North Central Ohio and start talking to the people directly and explaining to them, hey, how you're going to fix things, how you're going to address things. Democrats ran away from this area. I give Scott Schertzer a lot of credit, mm-hmm. you know, for being basically an oasis mm-hmm. Here and providing a Democratic message. And I know he's got support, from some of his council people.
The previous guest on with Scott in the previous show happened to be Mayor Kellogg, who was his predecessor,
yes.
and a Republican, but he has good thoughts. He's a lot more conservative than Scott. But back then, we could just discuss, okay, I think we shouldn't spend $5 million on that. We should only spend $3 million. But now we're pitting people against each other because that person is bad because they wanted to spend $5,000 or, whatever. And Mayor Kellogg was the type of guy that he'd look at both sides. And
that's right.
We don't have people looking at both sides anymore.
Yeah. And the other thing that happened, which really exacerbated the whole situation, and probably in the last 10 years, is after the crash of 08, you saw, not just in this country, but around the world, all the basically Western industrialized countries were all undergoing the same thing. They started cutting back on programs that would have helped millions of people. This was less austerity.
Yeah. They were saving money for their own stockbrokers or members,
yeah.
right?
Stockholders. And Obama, I blame Obama for taking his foot off the pedal at the time, which cost Strickland the governorship, his reelection. If we had kept those programs in place and really, kept the spending, keep that money going, people.
It is
money. Money's like energy. It yeah. has to keep going and keep flowing. When you start restricting the flow, you're cutting off energy. You're cutting off lifelines to tens of thousands, tens of millions of people. And that was a critical juncture, not just in this country, like I said, but in Europe. And all of a sudden, you saw these far right-wing movements rise up.
Yeah.
Tea Party and everything else rise up around the world. They were saying, government's the problem. Government is us people.
Yeah.
We're abdicating our responsibility by letting these guys make decisions on our behalf and without our input.
And of course, the rich people have a lot more power because they can give
yes.
dollars and bucks.
Yes.
And so therefore, their decisions are put to the front.
Correct. Yeah. So at Citizens United, as we all know, there were actually a couple of precedents prior to Citizens United, but Citizens United was the one that broke the dam open finally. Yeah. So all this, you know, special interest money could just go in almost unchecked, dark money.
Yeah, when I talked about it when I was running for office, that was one of my points, that we had to get dark money out of the political business. It wasn't important to people for some reason or other. It was important to me because I saw what it was doing. My opponent got $8,000 from a householder to run, to her campaign. I got nothing from Mr. Householder, but and then apparently she got a duplicate amount of money against the person that ran against her this last time. I was trying to get rid of that.
And right. And just so folks know, the Democratic Party in Ohio is nowhere as rich as the Republicans because of all this dark money.
Yeah.
And this is a good segue right into HB6 because that is the pinnacle of the dark money. As you know, the largest Ohio scandal in history.
$60 million.
$60 million, the largest, and it'll go. You know, he'll be in jail. Householder and his cronies will go to jail. First Energy got a slap on the wrist, and I started a petition. It didn't go too far, but I started a petition online. I wanted the Cleveland Browns to take the First Energy name off the stadium.
Wow.
Yeah. Because.
Yikes.
Yeah. Because. Are you kidding me? They when they did the payoff the other day to the state, they were effectively admitting their guilt.
Yeah.
That they were trying to bribe Ohio citizens to the tune of billions of dollars. I mean, to rip them off.
Yeah.
And so they're going to get the naming rights? Nah. That should go. It should revert back to Cleveland Municipal Stadium and get rid of First Energy.
They got the name. I think it's going to be harder than hard to get it off of there, though.
Haslam, there were other people that were talking about this. I wasn't just the only one. But Haslam, you would have thought the Haslam family, being connected with what he was doing a few years ago, with ripping off all those customers, mom and pop shops, for fuel.
Yep.
And he got off. And now he's connected with another big-time corporation?
Well, that's why another thing I was running against was corruption in our government. And the number one cause, as I can see it, for corruption in the government is dollars and cents.
Yes.
It can't be nowhere else
than
the money.
Yeah. And this was something that, again, I addressed the redistricting commission in Mansfield on the 27th of August. I gave my 2 cents to the commission, and one of the points I was trying to make was that gerrymandering has brought upon a situation where you are freezing these incumbents in place, Democrat or Republican.
Yeah, I understand that.
And you have special interests, unions, giving money to Republican incumbents.
Yeah.
Because they know, his opponent, me, has a snowball's chance of winning, so I'm just going to give to his opponent, even though that guy is going to vote for right-to-work legislation, which is so anti-union.
My opponent, Tracy Richardson, got, tens of thousands of dollars from unions.
Yes.
And I was the Democrat.
Yes.
And I was for unions.
Yes. Yeah, we all are.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to bring that back. I mean, we want to strengthen. You know, people talk about, they're complaining about the wages. And I had a conversation with a gentleman, small shop, not that long ago in Cary, Ohio. And he was reciting the usual talking points about people not wanting to work. They're getting that unemployment money.
Which is BS.
Yeah, which is BS because unbeknownst to him, I said, DeWine cut out all that money months ago. They're not getting that extra money. He goes, what? I said, I didn't know that. I said, yeah, that's the truth. He cut it out. A handful of Republican legislators around the country and governors said, oh, no, we're going to buy into that myth that these people aren't getting off the couch because they're getting that extra money, when it was feeding millions of people and getting them through a pandemic.
Right.
This is a crisis. This is an incredible crisis we got going on. We have supply chains that are so disrupted right now because we can't get people back to work. We can't get them, you know, healthy. And because of the refusal, because of the propaganda out there telling them to refuse the way forward, the right way forward. I'm not sheep. I'm a very independent-minded person. I don't like being told, you know, 99% of the time what I have to do. But in this case, it's bigger than me. It's bigger than all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you noticed how well? I watch my 401k almost daily.
Yes.
And while Mr. Trump was the president, I rarely had a time where I was over 2% gain. Most of the time I was in negative numbers. Now, he was saying what the economy was so good. Well, it was good for the rich people, but it wasn't good for Joe Q average person like me. And then now that we've put all that money into the lower classes and we've given money back to people that needed a buck, I'm up to 9% now.
Yeah.
And I know that's a weak barometer because it's just mine, but I think our economy is doing far better than it was the previous 4 years.
Yeah, that was a lot of times when people talk about the economy, and Trump did this a lot, look what the Dow's doing. And that is probably the biggest fallacy right there. You never look at the stock market index.
That's what the rich people are getting.
That's what the rich, yeah. Well, and of course, our 401ks are all tied into that, but yeah. Understandably, which isn't really necessarily the best thing because we got rid of the pensions, which were guaranteed.
Yeah.
But and we're not funding the pensions. That's the other thing. But the underlying conditions of the economy have been in the toilet for a long, long time. And what was boosting the stock market was the tax cut that these guys got in 17, and all they did was initiate stock buybacks, which boosted the stock market.
And helped their
Bottom lines, helped their own personal bottom lines. But there was no, if you had looked underneath all of those figures, one of the biggest indicators of how well your economy is doing is the capital investment by manufacturing companies, companies themselves. If they're not putting capital back into their companies, that's an indicator that they're taking it out, or they're doing a stock buyback, which is no capital investment whatsoever. So capital investment over the last 10 years has tanked.
Really?
Yeah, it should be way up.
It should be great because they've gotten so many benefits.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. And so what they did is they took their billions and they just pumped up their own stock values.
Jeez.
And that's what everybody was going, oh, look at the Dow. For years, economists have been telling the media and politicians, don't use the Dow. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not an indicator.
They're all left-wing libs. So all those people have been telling you that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we're closing in on this first hour. Are you going to stay with us for the second hour?
I'm going to stay as long as I can.
Okay.
Do you need to do a break or something? Because I want to.
Yeah, we will go to a break here in about 3 minutes, and we'll be out for about 15 minutes, and then we'll be back.
Okay.
If that'll work for you.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about this because I'm sure we just scratched the surface with you.
Yeah, and I've got to plug the Oktoberfest event.
Yeah, and that was the other part that I forgot to put on my little message about the show. I couldn't remember the Oktoberfest name.
We'll talk about that more frank then.
Okay, very good. Well, in the last 2.5 minutes, I really don't have anything we can talk about in two and a half minutes.
Okay. Let me raise my hand here.
Okay,
man.
Go.
Well, one of the things that, if I do decide to run again, I've got to wait and see if what these districts are going to look like.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? But, my main aim is to shore up my own local county party, mm-hmm. and to help the other local county parties as best I can. And mm-hmm. that was what led me a couple of years ago. I was attending a county chair association meeting, a regional meeting in Paulding County. Mm-hmm. And I found that the far northwestern counties band together because they're so rural. They band together and they have this big picnic. It's like a multi-county event.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what led me back to my group and said, "Hey, this is what we need to be doing. We need to be
banding
and
together."
I put together the Oktoberfest event a couple of years ago. 5-6 county affair. Marion County, of course, is going to be part of it this year. And now we're dialed it up to 11.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
To borrow that Spinal Tap phrase, dialed it up to 11. And
boy, that goes back a ways. Yep. Okay.
And we're going to have 11 counties involved. So
that'll
we'll talk
fun.
More about that.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to tell the viewers about if they're interested in coming. We've got a lot of big names coming from running for U.S. Senate and for the governorship.
Okay, and I just interviewed Jeff Seitz the other day. He's running.
Jeff's coming.
He's running against. He'll be running against Jordan if he wins the primary. Now I don't think he. I think he has a write-in opponent. I think that's it. But I had a great interview with him. We're going to be talking more with him. He's going to come back on the show. Well, we're down to our last 30 seconds, so I better. Tell my listeners to come back. We'll be talking more, and we're going to talk about things that are going on with the 11 county get together.
Yep.
And so stay with us. We're going to break away for some
call
news.
Too.
Yeah.
Take
oh
questions.
Yeah. I forgot to tell you.
I love to take questions.
740-383-9944, and I'll give you that number when we come back on the other side. Make sure you come back. All right. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The voices you want to hear. From Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
What is something, because it's years later now, that would have been a huge show at the time? Like a
doctor. How do you like our new
like a David Letterman.
They ain't the greatest. Yeah.
You okay? Okay.
Yeah. It's very comfortable.
The chair buckled over there. Okay. For people listening, no. Something that came in that would have been huge.
A huge.
Lost me at the time. A huge show he did not do
because of something.
Because he thought, you know, it's just not me.
Yes, there is. Now, our chair keeper over there tells us we're almost up. Out of time.
I just about didn't survive that. Oh my goodness.
but we have to. We didn't.